Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Callahan this morning. We're going to talk about a bunch of city things. Matt, it's good to see you. It's been a few months since you have been in, so it's good to have you here this morning.
Oh, thank you very much. Glad to be here as always.
One of the things that you can't help but notice it when you drive around, when you watch City Council, when you watch the Planning Commission, growth remains that the topic. And you and I have talked about this for years, and we see things, but boy, you start driving around over in the Idlewild area, or just any part of the city now, and it just seems like every little free patch is turning into a house or a subdivision or something.
And you're seeing a lot of SOS signs.
That's the other thing. We don't get into that. It's been a few years since there has been an issue like that where you start seeing signs pop up.
It is becoming an issue, and I think you hit the nail on the head when you said growth and how we grow in the future. It's become a huge issue. Staff keeps referring to the fact that, well, we looked at this in the small area plans and it's in the comp plans. Well, I voted against the last comp plan. And, you know, my concern is and I think it's a concern that has now come out with the ADU discussion, is we're doing things incrementally. We've not done a very good job giving an overall picture to the public of what Fredericksburg is going to look like you build out. It's pretty much, we'll just change this area from R6 to R24. We'll just increase density here downtown. Oh, ADUs, don't worry about it. There'll only be a few of them. But when you start putting all this together, it starts to be an issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we talk about comp plans, and we've had this conversation on a number of occasions, you know, looking at the regional comp plans, we already know we cannot provide the infrastructure necessary to support that level of development in this region. So to constantly refer to a plan that is flawed to begin with,
right,
is difficult to understand. And while Fredericksburg is going to grow, and we are the fastest growing region, this concept that keeps being floated at the council meetings of, oh, we're going to be 40,000, we got to do this, that, and that. You know, you don't define housing needs by political boundaries. It's a distance issue. And there's a lot of factors that go into that. If you look at what's going on in Stafford and Spotsylvania County, just across the political boundary of the city, they're building a lot of housing and a lot of different kind of housing. And the housing in the counties is always going to be cheaper than in the city. It's just a fact of life. Land values in the city are always consistently higher than everywhere else.
Yeah.
That's not to say we can't deal with affordability. That's not to say we don't need to deal with affordability, but it's a lot more complicated issue than just saying this idea that more density equates to cheaper house prices or cheaper cost of living. It's just the opposite. The higher the density, actually costs go up because the value of the land goes up along with it. So unfortunately, we've been having a very superficial discussion, and we're really not focused one on the bigger picture and all the options we have to look at. Because again, 10.4 square miles, that's all we've got to work with. We've got to be very careful how we develop that last 10.4 square miles, and it's not all about housing. If we want to be the hub, we want to be the hub for education. We want to be the hub for jobs. We want to be the hub for visitation and restaurants and things like that. Do we want to also be the hub for housing? You know, that's a discussion we need to have.
I hadn't thought of it in terms, but you're right when you talk about a little change here, a little change there. And I noticed it this spring, just kayaking on the river and seeing the city from that view, and all of a sudden you look at Riverfront Park and you see the things that have been built around there, and you start seeing different parts of the city. And I always think back to our conversations of 5-10 years ago about, be careful on what we do on William Street, be careful what we do here, because once it's gone, it's gone. And we're starting to see that.
Let me take one step back on this. You know, the city is going to continue to grow. It is. And there's going to be changes coming. The One Hanover Project, if you want to talk about one of the bigger projects going on downtown, it's a big project. But if you look at what it originally was going to be, it was a lot bigger project.
That's
so
true.
We were able to kind of ratchet that down. I think where we've missed opportunities, the Vacos Project, you know, the two things that have driven me nuts about the Vacos Project was in the very beginning, we had an easement on the property, and we could have held on to that easement. And then I suggested, let's hold on to the easement. Let's see what they bring forward. Let's have a conversation about it. And once we get the project to where we're all on the same page, then we can release the easement, because I can't start the project without us giving up. But no, we just, for $20,000+, we gave up the easement, which gave up any oversight of that project whatsoever. Then fast forward, and initially the Vacos made it quite clear that they weren't going to ask for any incentives. Then at the very end, now with phase three, which is the restaurant slash meeting center project, they said, well, we need to have incentives for this. And I'm not necessarily opposed to it, but all the discussions that the council had were 2x2s, so it's all private discussions, and then it appeared on the agenda. And all I asked was, let's have a presentation. What is the project going to look like? Yeah. What exactly we're going to do? Give it at least 2 weeks so the public can chime in and give their opinions whether or not they support this. And I couldn't even get a second for that. So, you know, it's beginning to get a little bit concerning about how we deal with these projects and these issues. We've got to be a lot more careful and discerning in what we do. We have areas to put density. You look at the underside of 95, we've got opportunities. Cramming it all downtown makes no sense. We don't have the infrastructure to support it. It's already creating problems with parking and otherwise.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrible.
And again, the Vacos project was supposed to have one level of underground parking. That went away. And it's kind of like, well, why'd it go away? Well, you know, really, they really didn't mean to put it in. Yeah, it was in the drawings, but, you know, it's not a big deal. And when they build this entertainment venue, what are they going to use for parking? They're going to use the parking deck. So, okay, that we said we were going to get so many public parking spaces out of there. Now this project is going to take care of all that. Barton Street's going to be done at some point. What are they going to do? They're going to park at the look at that parking deck and say, that's going to be our parking. So all it turns into is supporting their level of development. And it's pretty intensive development for that part of our downtown.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and another thing, and I noticed it on when you look from Amelia Street, from the Confederate Cemetery downtown, boy, that has just changed overnight. Just the size of that structure.
And I think that's kind of driving. I think the ADU discussion was just that point where we tripped the wire, when everybody started looking around and going, what are we doing? You know, what's the explanation? Why are we going? And again, if you look at even the staff reports we get, it's, well, in this page of the comp plan and this page of the small use. I mean, it's little pieces all spread out through these documents that, and I think I mentioned it Tuesday evening, that we've never really sat down and had a conversation with the public and saying, this is where we're going. This is what we're going to try to do. This is our vision.
This is what it's going to look like.
The future development of the city.
Yeah. Quick break. We're going to come back. Much more to talk about. Good stuff here with City Councilman Matt Kelly this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly in this morning. So, Matt, talking about growth, and we've talked about it a little bit, but the ADU, the accessory dwelling units, does that come before council anytime? What's the process?
Our next meeting on the 27th, they'll have public hearing on what has been brought forward by the Planning Commission. I would say that what the Planning Commission brought forward is obviously not going to be approved, that the council is now working to see what we can do. And all the information I've received, including emails from constituents and people in the city, you know, it started off as this is going to be all about affordability. Well, no, it's not. You can't say it's all about affordability and housing stock and then turn around and say, oh, we're only going to build, don't worry about it, it's only 9 units a year, maybe. Okay, kind of self-defeating. You know, then it was a diversity issue. Well, we can't tell people who can live in these units or anything else like that, so I don't know how that kind of crept into it. But the primary ones were aging in place and having some people assist you. Potential of helping younger buyers have the opportunity to help with mortgages and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay. We can deal with that. You make it owner-occupied, and you make it within the confines of the existing dwelling. Boom, we're done.
I was going to say, that's it. End of conversation.
That covers the bases, but I don't know if we're quite there yet.
Okay.
I know there's been some discussions of whether we can make it owner-occupied. Again, we have numerous jurisdictions in the Commonwealth of Virginia that do it that way. I did contact the Attorney General's office specifically, and they came back and they said, Mr. Kelly, we can't give you an answer because it has nothing to do with the state. You guys have control of zoning. You can do what you need to do with zoning. And I said, hey, that's great. Just put it in an email and send it to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know why there's still some heartburn on that front. But I think we're there if we just make it owner-occupied and within the confines of the existing dwelling.
Wow, if that is the case, then all the signs around town and the discussions on this could be a quick resolution to all of this.
Well, one of the issues, and it's been an issue throughout this process, is enforcement. You know, how do you make sure that that's what is done? And one of the things that the Planning Commission did make clear that I agree with is they said, well, we dismantled our rental maintenance program. We need to bring the rental maintenance program back in so we have, some capability to actually do oversight, which we need to do on just rental properties in general, because we have some rental properties out there that are questionable.
Yeah, right. So
that we need to deal with.
Along the lines, as we talk about growth, one of the big issues over the last year, and now ground's been broken, and the new school is being built. Is that going to take care of things as far as what the school needs for a while, once it opens?
I'm still trying to. Well, let's talk about what school needs are. And I've had this conversation on numerous occasions, and this is my biggest concern: is we are putting so many resources into bricks and mortar, and probably not enough resources where they really need to be, which is in the classroom.
Yeah.
With regards to teacher salaries, we need a much more robust workforce development program. And to be a robust workforce development program, it's going to have to be regional. We can't do it on our own. We're too small. But we're backing ourselves into a corner with some of these expenditures to the point where how much longer can we keep this up as an independent school system? It really is becoming an issue. Our scores, I read the paper that said, well, our scores are up. We're still pretty much at the bottom of the state. I'm happy for any improvements, but we really need to start focusing on what kind of programs do we have to do. And I think that's going to be after school programs. Can we partner with other, civic associations, churches, or whatever else to provide places where children can go to do their homework, maybe get something to eat or anything else like that. I mean, really focus on that. We've got a language barrier and cultural barrier issue we need to be dealing with.
Yeah.
And most school systems are dealing with that. But instead of focusing on that, we have this tendency, build something new and different, everybody, and that's the problem. That'll solve everything. It's not going to solve the problems we're really dealing with. And I'm hoping that we can have a conversation, because we've got a segment of our community that is not performing the way they should be, and we need to be doing everything we can to help them, give them the opportunity and the resources to excel.
Well, and again, it's interesting you talk about schools that way, because so many things that you've talked about over the years that the city should consider setting up more regional partnerships with localities, and while it's tough, with the city, the counties are running into a lot of the same things too.
Well, if you look at any funding opportunities, also, if we were to look at a regional workforce development program, we would probably have very little difficulty getting funding for it, because right now the state and federal governments, when it comes to funding, are really looking at we want to see regional efforts. We don't want to see individual efforts. And it's not only just education. Another one, we in a recent council meeting, we received a letter from Fossil Free Fredericksburg going, hey guys, you said you were going to be fossil free here. We don't see where there's a plan. And we don't have a plan. Really, we don't. I just finished working with PRTC, Potomac Regional Transportation, who runs bus service to our north. We just finished going through almost a year and a half of what's the technology for electric buses? What are the other technologies coming forward? What kind of infrastructure we need to have in place? What is our current? I mean, we have done, and you have to have that plan if you're going to get funding. We're not there yet. GWRC just hired an environmental planner. This is another thing that is set, which would be perfect for a regional project for all of us to work on, to get going on, instead of trying to do, you know, we'll buy three hybrids this year and we'll buy two hybrids next year.
Right.
That's not a plan. We do need to sit down there. And right now we're working on the waste management side of the house. Hopefully at our next R board meeting, we will adopt the PPEA policy and looking at a potential solar project, understanding there's issues with that, but it would be important, and also looking at public-private partnerships for composting and recycling. So, but we need to have some overall direction of where we're going, and we're not there yet. And again, it would make more sense regional than it would be just the city.
Now, you have talked about it, and we see, and certain things that are done regionally have been working very well, and especially you look at the George Washington Regional Commission now, is very robust,
and they're working on the housing issue.
Yeah,
GWRC was the first organization going back, 2008-09, where we did a regional affordability plan, which resulted in, when the foreclosures came about, remember, and we were buying up foreclosed homes and fixing up and selling them off to families in need.
Yeah,
we got, instead of just $2.5 million from the state, we got $5 million because they were so impressed with our housing plan. We've been through this. We know what the options are. We just haven't had that level of discussion yet. And it needs to be a regional discussion, not just within the city.
When you talk about the regional landfill, and I should have told you I did this for the first time ever, I had some people from the R board and the come in and talk about composting and everything they did. And over the years, you and Billy Withers would come in and talk about this, and you were my only points of contact to actually meet some of those people. I'm going to go out there one of these days.
They are doing a wonderful job over there.
They really are.
I think we finally reached the tip. We've had so many ups and downs at the R board,
yeah,
finances and everything. We're now in a position where we can start focusing on. I mean, this conversation started, 4 or 5 years ago, sitting down with all the people in the five jurisdictions that dealt with waste management, and said, "Hey guys, is continuing to bury garbage the long-term future of waste management?" "No, no, 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 no." "Okay, guys, what are we going to do?"
Yeah.
And I think hopefully within the next few months we'll start having that level of conversation. And it's been a good group, because we've also, with the committee that we have set up at the R board looking at this, we brought the Sierra Club in. Said, "Hey, we want you in the front end of this discussion. You know, bring the players that are going to have the expertise or are going to be involved in any solution into the discussions on the front end. Don't wait until the back end," which is what we have a tendency to do.
Yeah.
And frankly, it's been a very good discussion.
Yeah. No, they came in, and I was blown away with the programs and the new director, some of his ideas of what he wants to do. I'm always reminded of the time you were over in Germany on vacation and went and looked at how they did waste management.
Yeah.
Yes.
Always do that. It's always fun to see how, I shouldn't say fun, but interesting. My wife didn't appreciate it much.
No, I didn't think so.
But it's always interesting to see how other groups, cities, and societies deal with it. And again, when it comes to transportation, when it comes to waste management, they're a bit ahead of us.
Yeah, no, but they're to be able to do that kind of thing and see what's going on, and it does provide new ideas.
Well, you take, you know, one picture I took, which is one of my favorite pictures in Schwetzingen, has the train station showing the electric bus driving by with the electric trains coming in with the electric scooters and the bicycles. All four modes sitting right there in one photograph at one station.
Right.
You pick up one ticket, you ride the bus, you ride the train, you ride the tram. And boom, 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 boom. I mean, they are a very, very transit-oriented society, and they have to be. Size, amount of developable land and population, they have to do it. In fact, I had a conversation with the Lord Mayor and the Mayor on that point. When they make a decision on something, they're all in, whatever it takes to solve the problem. We're more of, well, we only have X amount of dollars, so we'll do this, which lasts for about 5 years, and then we're dealing with the problem again, and then we solve it for 5 years, then we're doing it again, and we just kind of push.
Yeah.
We don't come up with, you know, what is the solution and what do we need to take care of it?
When we come back, we're going to talk transportation, but before we talk transportation, There's all the work going on at the train station or the
right. We're extending the platform.
Yes. Is that going to go on for a little while longer?
That's going to be a while. Well, right now they're pointing up the bridges and they're doing the I'm going to call it primarily cosmetic work on the bridges.
Okay.
They're not going to deal with the main issue, which is a drainage problem. You can't deal with a drainage problem until you get another track in there, which eventually will be there. But you can't shut down one track, kind of chokes things up.
Yeah.
And then also extend the platforms to the basically back to their original length, because at VRE, we want to go to 10-car trains, and we need the extra platform. And on VRE, we come back, we just finished our mini retreat on the future of VRE between 2030 and 2050, and I can give you the heads up on that.
Yeah, let's talk about that when we come back, because I did want to ask you about VRE, so I did not know about that. We'll do that when we come back. City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 829.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial broadcasting station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly, our special guest this morning. Just before the break, talking about transportation and VRE, I didn't know. But my question to you about VRE was going to be, every time, I know the numbers are starting to climb a little bit.
A little bit.
But last Friday, which is a free day, you can ride VRE, and I went by Leland Station and another station, and there were not many cars in the parking lot, which had me slightly alarmed.
Well, we just had a retreat this past week to kind of go over where are we going. And what has become clear is we've got to kind of transition from being just a commuter train service to basically a regional train service, which means we'll now be looking at one for our riders in Stafford, Spotsylvania, and the city. Is one of the biggest, I'm not going to say complaints, but issues people have with riding the train is it still seems to be quicker to drive than it is some train because you have so many stops.
Yeah.
So we need to go to express trains and start running express trains. Start looking at doing more trains coming back earlier in the day. So if somebody just... And that's not just for people going to work. That's people, hey, let's go up and spend part of the day, have lunch, and then we can come back
early
afternoon.
I would do that.
And then, of course, the one thing that I think is the top of the list is start weekend service and bringing trains back and forth. We've looked at the numbers. You know, the one big issue for me is, you know, we've got so many people teleworking is, you know, what are the experts telling us about teleworking? And what we're being told at this point is teleworking is now a fact of life. It's just the level of it. And I think what they're seeing is a lot of employers are saying productivity is a lot better when people are in the office than not in the office.
Yes.
And it's not going to be a huge shift, but there's going to be a shift back to the office. And then we'll start picking up there. The bigger issue, of course, is funding all this. And we cannot continue with the gas tax. The state needs to figure out what it's going to do. That's, you know, the big discussion. And frankly, that's the one that hurts us the most on any transportation in our region is we don't have money to leverage. So at some point, we do have to have at least a discussion of whether we want to look at a transportation authority. Now, Richmond now has one, obviously Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads. And you can set them up to where they're project specific. You know, mm-hmm. VRA. I found it when talking to people, if they know what the end is, we are going to get this. They're more okay. All right, I'm willing to do that if I know I'm going to get this.
Yeah.
So there are some projects that we will not get funded, like bridges across the Rappahannock, unless we find other sources of money beyond what's out there now. So we need to have that conversation.
Boy, and like you say, there's the funding, and there are some things to be worked out with the localities and all. But boy, if express trains and weekend trains, that opens up the city for a lot of in this area for a lot of people that might not want to come down here.
Right now, the biggest issue people have when I came to Fredericksburg, you could be up to Washington and back, you know, an hour each way, mm-hmm. 45 minutes to an hour each way. Now it's like 2 hours.
At least.
Could be a lot worse depending on the situation. Having that back and forth on The trains is a game changer, because now you can do that, you know, hey, let's just go down to Fredericksburg for the day, and then we're, you know, back up. And, you know, no, I think it'll be a big, big push forward. Again, we have the train slots coming forward with the agreement we have with CSX, with the Long Bridge deal and transforming Virginia rail. It's just, again, getting the money to buy the trains and things of that nature.
Yeah.
But weekend commuting we can do right now, because all you're doing is taking the existing trains and running them on weekends. So I see us moving on that front a lot sooner than the addition of trains.
Is the Long Bridge supposed to start the construction on that soon?
They're finishing up, aren't they? I have not looked at it any time in the last few months. So now they're finishing up on that planning and going through all the environmental and everything else like that.
It's so interesting watching all this construction on 95 right now that we have in this area, and we're starting to. I mean, it's we are going to be in the home stretch and some of this.
Well, the interesting thing about what we're doing now, and this is another critical conversation we need to have, and that is, we talked about earlier, within 5 years, things are back to kind of the way they were.
Right. That's what was going to be my question to you.
Yeah, I think 95 will be improved for a while. The fact that we're already talking about building another bridge, and we haven't even finished
the
first part of the project, tells you something. We need to kind of pivot and look more at other different modes of transportation moving forward. PRTC, or OmniRide, OmniLink, you know, will be running bus service from Spotsylvania north. So I think we need to start looking at those kind of opportunities. Mm-hmm. Where does Fred fit in?
Yeah.
In all this. But we do need to kind of shift our thinking on transportation within the region.
Now, you read my mind, because I was going to say this. It feels like we're going to get done, and within a couple of years, we're going to look at it and just say, what did we do? What did it accomplish?
Well, the problem we have is if we don't make the investments into those type of things, and I know a lot of people goes, it's you know, again, it costs money, and I understand that, and we're all pretty much stressed out. But if we don't, we're going to lose the business. We won't have the business opportunities here, and things are just going to get more expensive. Right. You can do more damage to your community by doing nothing than making some investments, as long as they are targeted, focused, and you explain to the public, we make this investment, we will achieve by that investment.
It's interesting you said that, because you talked especially to some long-time businesses downtown, and they talk about, especially during the week, they don't see the traffic from the Arlingtons and the Alexandrias that used to come down here for a day. They don't do that anymore.
Well, again, we are now at the VRE. That is the topic. And I think the biggest thing coming forward will be looking at when can we start weekend service.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. Historic preservation. I know the Renwick building is back up for discussion again.
Again. Again and again and again.
It's always funny, because when this first started, I remember us talking about this. And I remember saying, is this going to be Maury School all over again? And everybody, a lot of people would say, no, we're not going to make that same mistake.
No, and I've been very public about it. I think, I believe that it needs to be maintained in public ownership and public use. Does not mean, you know, we can't do something similar to the Torpedo Factory in Alexandria, where you have leasing space and using mm-hmm. and revenue generating. It's not something we can do. I think the issue we had with Maury, if you remember correctly, we gave the arts community an opportunity to raise money to do that. And as the conversation moves forward, we set up the committee to look into this and report back to council by the end of the year. I'm serving on it, Councillor Gerlach, and representatives from other organizations. We got to look at who can step up and actually run this operation. What would that look like? Where would the funding come from? It's more, unfortunately, in the presentation we had initially on it, all it talked about is tax credit. There's a lot more money out there other than tax credits that are available that we can. In fact, I did a search on it and found something that DHR did on incentivizing preservation and sent it to staff and said, you need to send this out for everybody for a little homework assignment before the meeting so they can understand this. And frankly, it's something we need to be, you know, doing moving forward in the city. Is, I think, I don't think I know, that preserving what we have and the character of the city is critically important in the future. And we, if we can incentivize a bar, why can't we incentivize preservation? I mean, I understand it's a cost to people. I understand when you're paying that much for a piece of property, you want to, you know, max out. But we need to make sure it fits. And if we got to help do that in, with incentives or something, we should be willing to consider doing that for the long-term future of the city.
Well, and just the Renwick building itself, there's so much history behind that, and who was involved in
I think the key thing for me is the one aspect of downtown that we're missing is we've got the restaurants now and all that stuff like that, but we really don't have any really significant entertainment areas mm-hmm. where people can come. Hey, let's have dinner and then go to a show or whatever else like that. And I think there's an opportunity here to give us a more substantial entertainment area. I know the university's looking at one, but that's what they've proposed up to this point is relatively small, primarily a classroom stage, not a full-blown facility for public use. That's going to be redeveloping the auditorium that they have at some point, and that's still farther on down the road, as we're being told anyway.
A couple of things environmentally. When we talk about growth, and I was thinking of this the other day of just how things have changed. About and you've got to go back probably 20, 30 some years ago, but when the city relied on the river for drinking water, and when there would be a problem, mm-hmm. it would shut things down, and it was a horrible situation. But as we have more growth, In environmental factors and in issues, I'm sure are a concern.
Very much so, and I've had this conversation with some of the environmental groups in town. Is Fredericksburg is willing to do their part. We've signed off on fossil free and everything else like that. But frankly, in the grand scheme of things, we're the small players at the table.
Yeah,
and anything we do is a big financial issue for the city. It's doable, and we can do it. I'm just hoping that some of these conversations, and we will continue moving down. I think. Thing the city needs to do right now again is what is the plan to get to wherever we want to go. I mean, we are going in that direction. It's just how are we going to do it? What are the costs associated with it that we've got to really get our heads around, as we just did. It took us almost a year and a half, 2 years at PRTC to go through this process of where is the technology? Where is the technology going? What is the current infrastructure we have? What is the current the infrastructure we need, and how do we do it? But we have an opportunity now at the regional level, now that we have an environmental planner in place, to really have a conversation regionally on making this work, which would have a much greater impact and reaching the goals that everybody wants to get to, not only with regards to fossil free, but with regards to waste management and construction and everything else.
Yeah, we talk about, and you've been involved with the George Washington Regional Commission, GWRC, for years, and the caliber of people that they have overlooking and being able to advise the local governments on things is just I've never seen it so good.
And on the environmental front too, now you're getting so much from the state and the federal side on wanting certain things being done and requirements that we have with regards to water quality and things of that nature, where we have an opportunity to build on those requirements into other areas of environmental protection. And I think we have a very good group of individuals that serve at the regional level and in these different boards that are now coming to the understanding that, we've got to start looking at these things seriously and getting something done.
Yeah. Now, you think of, as dry as it's been years ago, we'd be the big issue we'd be talking about would be water rationing. Days you can do things.
Well, you remember we had one time in the city we had a moratorium on new construction because we didn't have the sewer capacity and everything else to deal with it. And now, of course, we're building a rather large wastewater treatment plant, which I wish had been a regional project, but that didn't work out. So,
City Councilman Matt Kelly is here. We'll wrap it up when we come back this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. Good stuff as we talk about the city. You told me couple of years ago that this would be your last term. Is it going to be your last term? There's been a number of us talk around town, and we talk, and I'm part of the group that will say, I wish Matt would run again.
Yes, the things have changed a tad. I arrived here in Fredericksburg when I was 18 years old. I just turned 65. I mean, I've never lived this long, and I've raised a family here, 3 children.
Yeah.
And my wife was a school teacher here, and we've spent a lot of time here. And pretty much over the last year or so, and some of the directions we're going in, we talked about growth issues and things of that nature. Transportation is still a huge issue that needs to get around, and environmental issues too, for that matter. And I had a lot of people talk to me about, you know, what the future of the city is, and kind of from that said, and we were looking at also going into an uncontested election, which
you'd never have been in favor of that.
You always need to have people running, and right now, I think we need to have that discussion about what is the future of Fredericksburg? What is growth going to look like? How should we handle growth? How do we deal with some of these issues? Yesterday was the deadline, so I had waited till the beginning of June and then started circulating petitions and kind of going, well, let's see where it goes. And, yeah, the last paperwork was put in yesterday, so, yes, I will be on the ballot in November. It's going to be interesting. My biggest fear is at 2 levels. One, we're going to be totally overwhelmed by the state elections because this is going to be a very contentious mm-hmm. elections, both for the Senate and House of Delegates. And when you're competing with those races, it's going to be very difficult to get a message out. And I'm hoping that we can maintain our nonpartisan and kind of frayed at the edges at the last election and got kind of nasty at some points.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping we can avoid that going forward, but I've come to love this town. I've spent a lot of time and of effort, and some successes, not all, some failures, but I've always tried to do the best for the city, and I think I need to stick around at least one more time to get some of these things done and have that community conversation about what is Fredericksburg going to be in the future.
It's been interesting the last few council meetings. It's good to have people around that have context and know things. And you've brought things up of negotiations that happened 25, 30 years ago, or when you first got on to council. And that's good to have that kind of understanding.
I think I've made this clear. You know, my job is to, you know, explain what my thoughts are on the issue. And I've done this. I've, you know, listened to all the comments, bring everybody to the table that needs to be at the table. I mean, we've gone through that. Remember the protest and trying to get the kids their opportunity to come and talk.
You did it on this show.
On this show, it was kind of, you know, I don't necessarily agree with everybody, but they have a right to have their voices heard, and they need to be heard because they give different perspectives, and you've got to consider those perspectives. And I try to do that. So at least at the end of the day, if you don't necessarily agree with me, on my decisions, you felt that you've been heard, you've had your opportunity to make your case. Hopefully I've done my job in addressing your concerns or answering your questions, and we move on. I'm pretty proud of a lot of people who have said, you know, you're the one that does your homework, you listen to everybody, you go out of your way to try to get different opinions, and you make yourself clear on the issues when you take a vote. And hopefully I can have the opportunity to continue that.
Well, and as we've talked today, just the things, and you talked about, you know, coming to Fredericksburg at 18 at Mary Washington and staying here, and the type of, I mean, the city has changed. These issues that we're talking about, just even within the last 5 years, have changed pretty substantially.
Oh, it's a huge change since than I got here, and you know, some of it we have some control over it. Some of it, we don't. You know, Virginia is a very property rights oriented state, and you know, a lot of people say stop doing this, stop doing that. Well, you can't. All you can try to do is modify and change it. And I think, you know, part of that is when we have the opportunities, and I think we've missed a few of them, to maintain some control of it, we've given it up. And I think we're a little bit right now too focused on, because we have a lot of very big challenges which involve a lot of money, out there, and I think we're making some of our decisions on for short-term revenue gains, and it's going to have a long-term impact on the city. I do not want to see a situation where I'm chatting with a former member years ago when we talked about Princess Anne Corridor, and staff said, we need to preserve some of this. And he said, well, wait a minute. The best use would be let five-story buildings and everything else. And I said, yeah, if you build those five-story buildings, you put all that density in there, people will just stop coming because we will lose the unique character of the city. That's why people come here, and the game's over. And I just do not want to see that happen.
No, and that's been one of the things that you have talked about and talked about extensively about, and this is a critical time for that because
it is. We are at the turning point now. Yeah. This is the conversation we need to be having.
Just because so many of those kinds of issues now are creeping into, whether it's the historic district or some of these other areas that make Fredericksburg.
Right, and we don't talk about preservation as much as we've done in the past.
No.
At the last council meeting, when I brought up the fact that we're trying to change our story, not change story, but how do we better tell our story? How do we better take advantage of technology to tell that story? And all of a sudden, it's now we just want to do sports tourism now.
Yeah.
And I'm going, what the?
I meant that was one of my topics, and we never got to it. And I thought that was interesting that's sports tourism in
I mean, I'm not saying against sports tourism or anything else like that, but, you know, every time I bring up, we do that. No, we don't. We are not a preservation-minded city. We're not. Not right now. We have everything. We look good on paper, but in execution, we're not there yet.
No, and that is one of the changes that I can see, that there was much more preservation and history talked about in the past, and some of it's just been lost, and it continues to be lost.
We lose it every day. We do, and that's unfortunate.
Well, I think this if I'm thinking correctly, this is either three or four times you have made political announcements on this show at this hour, so I thank you for that.
Well, we've been together.
We go back, and I was at another radio station, and I remember we were sat down and talked about a lot of these issues as you were a candidate.
So even before that, too.
I think, yeah, we go way back. So
that's kind of like, if I'm going to say it, I'll say it here first.
Matt, thank you so much. Thanks for coming
in. Thank you for having me in.
Good
Appreciate
luck,
it.
And we'll talk again soon. Thank you. City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.